Good morning. Thank you, Michael, for those songs you picked out. I'd like to, again, welcome the visitors that we have. We have a number of visitors with us. We're very glad to have you. Those of you joining us online, we extend a welcome to you. We started doing that a few years ago, and it's been a very big blessing for some of those, such as Barbara and Joyce, that could not physically be here with us, that they can still feel connected. And Barbara, I wanted you to know that Sue and Travis Wheeler came to sit with you today, but they're sitting with you in heart. But anyway, glad to see everybody. I wanted to remind everybody tonight, where is our last Sunday of the month, we'll be having our scripture and singing worship tonight. There is a theme tonight, our great country. And so the scriptures and the songs kind of go along with that. Got the 4th of July coming up this week, so kind of fitting. And we'll be having a fellowship meal together afterwards. Everybody's welcome to come back. That will be at 5:30 tonight. Paul talked about speaking in tongues. And what good is speaking in tongues if you don't have an interpreter? Well, if you looked at the bulletin, the on the back side, the bottom right corner, it's speaking in tongues. It's just gobbledygook, and have no idea how it came out that way. I watched it. I watched her type it in. It was perfect, but when it printed up, it came out like this. The last two little things was to remember the Briggs in your prayers, that Dana has COVID and that Dana's mom just got out of the hospital. She is staying with them, and to keep prayers for her. And then the last part, if anybody knows of anybody that could use a card shower, somebody that is ill or could physically or spiritually benefit from a card shower, to be able to see Carolyn or Stacy, and they'll get that arranged. Thank you, Carolyn, for the directories that were out there, and Elliot and Addison. We got new directories and updates on all the new members that we've had and so forth, and we're glad to have those. Let's go ahead and get into our lesson. It's going to be taken from Romans, the 6th chapter. If you want to turn in your Bibles there and follow along with the reading, that's where we'll be. If you've got an outline, if you picked an outline up from the foyer there, it's also printed on that. Now, last week we looked at Romans, the 5th chapter. And Paul was addressing two major concepts: the concept of faith and the concept of grace. Kind of two big issues to us as Christians. Everybody can benefit from what Paul is writing about in Romans 5 and in Romans 6, either if we've never heard it before, it's big information. If we've heard it and if we're Christians, it's information we can share with others. Amen. It's information that we can maybe correct some of our religious friends that have different understandings, incorrect understandings of faith, of grace. But let's get into Romans, the 6th chapter. He's continuing his thought, but he gets into chapter 6 and he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" the idea and the question was, what an unbelievable gift of God this grace was in chapter 5. What an immeasurable gift, straight from God. Some of us might need a little bit more grace than others.
Amen.
Some of us might have a little bit more trouble staying on the straight and narrow than others. And in chapter 5, Paul covered that idea. You will get as much grace as you need. But there was a misunderstanding. Well, if we get grace when we sin, why not just sit up a storm and get grace? A whole bucket full of grace. It doesn't work like that. And Paul answers, he asks a question and then answers his own question to them. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we keep sinning so we can get more grace? Certainly not. Absolutely not. Heaven forbid. He goes on to say, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Paul is making a comparison. Something that they can picture in their mind that they've been through. That as Jesus died on the cross, we died to sin. Amen. Or we should have. We should have died to sin. Tracy says it quite often. A lot of times people don't die to sin before they're baptized. They go into the water a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. They haven't changed. And he's explaining this idea that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We're making that comparison. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should not be, as Christians, that same old person that we used to be. I hope none of us are.
Amen.
I hope we're better each and every day. Year by year, getting more mature, more in line with the life that Christ would have us live. Verse 5, he says, for if we have been united in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, we put ourselves to death. We made that decision. Not going kicking and screaming. we made that conscious decision to put an end to that old life. We've killed it. We've turned our back on it. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. What a joyous occasion to be set free from bondage. Anybody. I don't care if you were a slave, a POW, whatever the situation, to be set free. What a joyous occasion. We have been freed from the bondage of sin. Thanks to Jesus' sacrifice and us putting to death that old man. We put him to death. We choose to. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. I'm reminded of the passage, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Basically, is that all you got? Is the only thing you have as the devil hanging over our heads is a fear of death? And that's all that he's got. When we're no longer fearful of death because we've put ourselves to death. We chose. I'll tell you, you look historically, people that have considered themselves, you think in, say, military terms, in battles or something, it looks bleak. And you and your comrades, you think, this is it for us. We have a choice, go out strong or go out whimpering. People that have considered themselves already dead become very effective. Think how effective we could be when we consider ourselves dead to the world, never to look back again. We're not going back to that. How effective we can be for Christ. For the death that he died once for all. But the life that he lives to God.
Amen.
Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ for our Lord. We can be of great effectiveness for God when we consider ourselves dead to the world. You look at people that had done that. Being the history, you know you got to have a little history thrown in. You look at the Battle of the Alamo. The guys were surrounded, outnumbered. They knew they weren't getting out. And you look at the fight that they put up and the terrible cost they inflicted on the enemy. You look in World War II, the attitude of the Japanese soldier. They considered themselves, they were reviving the code of Bushido, death before dishonor. Let me ask you this. How do you instill fear in somebody that's not scared to die? That's what we were up against in World War II. They would volunteer to become kamikaze pilots. That's an effective enemy. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. How effective will we be as Christians when we've put to death that old man?
Amen.
And to live, be alive to God in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Doesn't mean we're not going to stumble. We see some of the greatest godly people throughout the Bible stumbling. We see David. We see Moses. He struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock because he was mad. You look at Peter. Some of the most godly people, they stumbled. But they didn't let sin reign in their body, have control themselves. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. What a glory. And he's reminding them that you're no longer bound to sin. And you're no longer shackled to the law, but you're under grace. What then? Here Paul comes with the questions again. Self-reflecting questions. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Don't use that as an excuse. It's not a license to sin. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? We're going to be slaves to something. Nobody's exempt. We are all slaves to something. The good thing is we get to choose. We get to choose who we're slaves to. We're going to be slaves to the world, to sin, shackled to the law, or are we going to be slaves to Christ, alive, free from the sin? We get to choose. You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Paul says almost the same message to the Christians in Corinth in where he says, gives a whole list of sinful activities. And he says, and such were some of you. You used to be like that. You used to obey sin, but now you're freed from sin. Now you obey God and His righteousness. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We're going to be slaves to something. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now present yourselves as slaves of righteousness for holiness. What a contrast. Well, he's painting the picture, and you get the choice. You can do this or you can do this. And you get to choose. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Look at the fruit we produced when we were slaves to sin. Look at the results. Look at the outcome, the consequences. For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Paul is, I love studying the different ways different people teach in the Bible. Paul was painting to these people a very straight image that they could understand, that they could get. You used to be a slave of sin, and now you're slaves to God by your choice. And he ends with one of the passages that many of us have learned early on as a child. I think back just a few chapters earlier in chapter 3, where verse 23, where Paul told the Romans, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And just jumping ahead to this, just three chapters later, he says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. What? I love stories with happy endings. Started out a pretty ugly story in the early part of Romans, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God, due to your faith, has given us grace. And then some people thought, well, if we're going to get grace, let's just sin more and more and more. No. That's not it. And then he ends up telling them, you're going to be slaves to something. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And they lived happily ever after. By our choice. Our choice. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, if you have not been baptized, you don't have the benefits of that grace that God wants to give us. Because as it says in Romans 6, that's where we come into contact with that grace, is in baptism. We also have to put away sin. If you haven't been baptized, we have an opportunity now. Or if you haven't been baptized and you want to learn more and want to study more about it, get with any of us. You can come forward. You can get with one of the men or women here, and we'll set you up a study. If you are a Christian and struggling with that sin, putting to death that sin, A lot of times we're trying to run that race of life, dragging all the sin with us. We can't do that. We got to cut it off and leave it behind in our life. That's called repentance. We got to repent of our sins. If you need prayers of the congregation, lately we have been praying for a number of our members. Been praying for Marilyn and her family as she's traveling to and from California. Her cousin is starting another round of chemotherapy this week, and she's been helping out with that. We've got little Graham back there getting ready to have surgery. Graham, I want to talk to you before you leave, okay? So make sure Grandpa don't take you out too soon. Whatever your need, if we can assist you, please come forward while Michael leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.